As the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken tours the Middle East again, hoping to revive stalled hostage release and ceasefire negotiations, humanitarian relief agencies in northern Gaza say they've never seen such devastation in any conflict zone. Palestinians who fled from the Israeli ground offensive on the Jalalaya a refugee camp in northern Gaza have given harrowing accounts of the situation there. One man told the BBC that he saw streets strewn with bodies after being ordered to leave a shelter by Israeli forces, while a woman said some people left in such panic they left their children behind. Grotesque and catastrophic is how Georgios Petropoulos describes the situation. He's the head of the UN sub-office for the coordination of humanitarian affairs in Gaza, and he joins me now. And good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
We are a year on into this war in Gaza now. What access do you and other agencies have to northern Gaza at the moment?
We have very, very limited access to northern Gaza, and we have almost no access to North Gaza Governorate, which where Jabalia town is, and where for more than 2 weeks now, the Israeli ground operation has been ongoing. Dozens of requests for what we call coordinated movements for Jabalia city, Beit Hanun and Beit Lahia were denied. You know, more than 30 since October 6th. Fuel, medicine, supplies of food, both to try to go to Jabalia city, to the people that are trapped there, but also to the two last remaining hospitals, Kamal Adwan and Al-Adwa, have been denied. The situation is very grim. It includes not only the people that are stuck in the besiegement of the camp, the approximately 50 to 60,000 people that remain in North Gaza Governorate from about 180,000 that were there before, according to our estimates, but also the patients and staff in the hospitals who are trapped as they are just too terrified to go through Israeli lines and find some semblance of safety in Gaza Governorate immediately to the south.
Yours and other agencies have been seeking an immediate truce for a safe evacuation. Is there any sign of that happening?
We see no sign of any truce, and in fact are becoming less and less optimistic even about the third phase of round two of polio, which was supposed to begin today in northern Gaza. This will have a devastating impact on our ability to keep children safe from polio as well. So all of our programming is affected. All of our supply amounts are affected. There's no shelter to speak of anymore, supplies in the north. There is no cooking gas or fuel to cook any of the flour that manages to get in from northern crossings. And effectively for North Gaza, there is no medical system. Since the start of the operation, Jabalia camp has been completely choked off. And for the last 6 days, we have been asking not only to go to Jabalia town with some supplies, some medical, some water and some food, but also repeated attempts to get people trapped in the rubble out. You know, lives that don't need to be lost are outright denied by the Israeli military.
As you describe it, you're denied even the right to bear witness to what is happening there at the moment. From the information that you are able to glean, how are people living?
Well, I think, you know, forgive the cuteness here, but they're not living. They're trying. It's leaving. They're either going south or they're going west. But what they find either in Gaza City or in the, you know, coastal areas of North Gaza is the absence of any meaningful support. They're leaving at night, often with just the clothes on their backs, and a lot of them are simply sheltering in place. They struggle to find water and food. When they go out to do so, they are in high danger of being shot. Every single street in Jabalia is dangerous. Myself, 2 days ago, and colleagues from the World Health Organization were on a medical evacuation mission to Kamal Adwan Hospital. It took us about 48 hours to get 14 patients down to Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. Now, what we saw there, street on street, was just the heavy presence of fighting, of tanks, schools on fire as we drove by. Not a place for anyone to be out. But the problem is that even when they shelter in their homes, they're in danger of being bombed or shelled, as the fighting is very, very intense.
When you make these pleas for access to deliver aid or to help get people out, and when we see the United States in private negotiations, we understand saying, you know, there'll be a reduction in arms to Israel if they don't allow more aid in. What response are you getting from the Israeli authorities?
For the last year in this most acute conflict that I would say exists on our planet today, we've been basing our requests for access or an enabling environment. I mean, there's a lot of very kind of ponderous terminology we use. Essentially, it means let me get to the people that need help and provide me an environment which lets me get there. And this can take the form of a road that's made more flat, even by a military bulldozer, so that ambulances can get there, or stopping shelling an intersection for 10 minutes while we drive by. The two things that we don't have are immediate contact with ground forces, which is what we do in every other conflict on the planet, which allows us to actually meaningfully keep ourselves and our partners safe. And we don't have meaningful feedback from the Israelis of exactly why we're not allowed to take, for example, blood, food, or medical supplies to Kamal Adwan if we're going to get there to evacuate patients. Most of the time, we have rote answers that for operational reasons, we can't go. Obviously, we understand that it is a combat zone. We are prepared for that, and we take some risks that are appropriate and calculated. But for the last year, it has been a very frustrating dance of requests and requests denied, or requesting two agencies to go to a place and having one of the agencies go. So if you read into the situation, we can only surmise, we can only infer that it is a selective accessibility of certain types of activities for certain people at certain times delivered by certain organizations, which for me is not really the way to provide a full spectrum of support to people in need.
Georgios Petropoulos from the UN, thank you very much for joining us.